In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
How to buy a vacation home with a friend. That's coming up next on Your Money Matters.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York. Before buying a property with another person, it makes sense you'd figure out how you're going to finance and maintain it. But what else do you need to know? Joining us from her home in Florida is writer Robin Friedman. She's written about this for the Wall Street Journal. Robin, what's the most important thing people need to figure out before you jump into a property purchase with someone?
I think the most important thing is that people need to deal with a lot of the issues regarding the usage and the maintenance of the property ahead of time. There are a lot of issues that could arise. Expenses and the people who are purchasing together, whether they be friends or relatives, they really need to discuss these issues and work them out and preferably have some sort of a contract in writing ahead of time. Otherwise, there are actually unanticipated disagreements that can end up turning friends into enemies.
That's what you say in the piece. The goal here is to head off disagreements before they crop up in the first place.
Right.
So can you lay out what a typical, say, equity share agreement looks like? That's one of the types of documents you'd put together, right, to avoid these types of disagreements?
Yeah, the attorney that I had interviewed for the story, he termed it an equity share agreement. A lot of people would also refer to it as an operating agreement. It's basically kind of a prenuptial agreement that governs the use and expenses and the maintenance of the property. And it would typically include things such as who's going to pay for what, in what percentages, what about unanticipated repairs that come up. The attorney that I had interviewed, what they did was they would estimate each year, and this is all pursuant to their equity share agreement, they would estimate each year what the annual expenses for the property would be for property taxes, insurance, utilities, repairs, and then they would each write a check at the beginning of the year that would be held in an account to cover the costs of the vacation home, and at the end of the year, they do a reconciliation and see if they needed to fund some additional money. Perhaps one of the most important provisions in an operating agreement is an exit strategy. It's not unusual when people purchase a vacation home together for unanticipated things to happen. Perhaps someone loses their job or gets sick, and they no longer want to be part of the partnership that owns the house. Well, how do you deal with that? I mean, you have two people who purchased together who are likely jointly liable on a mortgage together. So how do you deal with that? That's a very, very important provision that the operating agreement must have, which is that exit strategy. I know that the attorney I interviewed, he provided for one of two things to happen. Either the house would be sold, so that both parties would be out of it, or they would have an appraisal and one party would buy the other out at fair market value.
And what are the risks? I mean, what could happen if you don't plan this out in advance?
Well, as I said before, there's unanticipated issues that might come up. For example, let's say that there's the air conditioner breaks or the roof needs repair. Those are significant repairs, and you have to decide ahead of time who's going to pay for what. Also, usage. Who gets the house on the holiday weekends? How many people are you allowed to bring up to share your vacation home with? I mean, if I had purchased a house with a friend of mine and I anticipated that just our immediate families are going to use the house, well, what happens if my friend brings up 12 additional relatives and that interferes with my, you know, use and enjoyment of the property when I wanted a nice quiet weekend? So there are a whole host of issues that can arise, and it's really important to have that agreement in place to avoid that.
That makes sense. We'll be back with more on this in just a moment after this.
Enjoy our podcasts? Then listen in your car. Before you start down the road, just sync your smartphone using Bluetooth or plug into the USB port. Got Apple CarPlay? Just tap on the podcast app and search for WSJ. The next time you're getting behind the wheel, take us along and enjoy the ride. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously. Share our shows with your friends. Like us at facebook.com/WSJ Podcasts.
Welcome back to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York, and I'm joined by freelance writer Robin Friedman. We're talking about buying a vacation home jointly with another person. Robin, how do people typically go about buying a vacation home in this way? And is the process different when you're buying it with someone else than you might otherwise?
I don't think the process is very different. What a lot of people do is they may have a favorite vacation spot, whether they love going to Aspen or they like going to the beach or maybe a Caribbean island. And many times people will share their vacations with friends or relatives. So it kind of evolves naturally that they want to spend more time together, and then ultimately they'll put down money to buy a home that they can, you know, guarantee in the future that they'll have this place to spend together. But probably the purchase process is pretty much similar to buy a vacation home with someone else as it would be for yourself once you identify the location and the type of house that you want to purchase.
So are these people typically cash buyers, or do they jointly take out financing?
It's both. According to statistics from the National Association of Realtors, the number of cash buyers actually increased from last year to this year. In 2014, there were 30% of all of the vacation home purchases were cash, and in 2015, 38%. So we did see an increase in the number of cash buyers. That's not surprising because, as we know, the process of getting a mortgage can be a little bit scary and complicated nowadays. So paying cash for a vacation home certainly does simplify the process.
And how would a home like this typically be titled?
Oh, there's generally two different ways that the experts suggest that they be titled. One is an LLC, which is a limited liability company, which is sort of a hybrid type of entity. It gives you some of the benefits of limited liability that you would have with a corporation, but it gives you some of the tax advantages and flexibility of a partnership. So an LLC is a very common way to do it. In fact, that's what I think most wealth managers would advise their clients to do. Also, you can purchase as tenants in common, which just means that the people would purchase as individuals and their names would be on the title individually and they would share ownership.
That's real estate writer Robin Friedman. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.